Coming your way live from a top secret location in Redondo Beach, you're listening to Aspel on the Esplanade on CHSR, HealthyLife.net Radio.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HealthyLife.net. This is Steve Aspel sitting here in a top secret location with South Bay J. Cruz.
Hey there.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
It's a little rain, and I didn't think I was going to make it today. At 12:30, 25 minutes ago, I said, nope, I can't make it. a five-month-old baby at my house and a two years, three quarters at my house. And
she's the senior citizen at this point.
2.5 years. Yeah, I know they're a pain. They're lovely, but it's a lot of work. Poor Pam's got them all awake right now.
Yeah.
I'm going. I said, well, you know, we can't go outside. Can't go for a walk. It's cold. It's windy. It's rainy.
Yeah. You don't want to take kids out in the cold. They'll get sick.
They gave me something. They already have something. I got better stay away from it. I got something going on. And Pam and I noticed, well, our parents did the same thing, and your parents did the same thing. You bring home shit from school.
Right.
Now they're going to the daycare 2 hours a day for 2 days.
Right.
Just to get used to school. And now they come home with sniffles. Hmm. Something. One or the other. They give it to us. I don't know. I don't really care anymore. Just taking it with me. You know, I notice it more now. But anyway, you have kids around. It's way fun.
Yeah.
It's way fun. There's this stuff you got to do at all times. My wife's constantly shushing me. Shush them too loud. So I'm listening to the music. I got to change this back from kids here. You know, I always complain about losing my memory, whatever, but I can remember songs and stuff from weird stuff from 1960. I mean, everybody can do that, I guess, but we're watching, over there the other day and, you know, Jack's playing guitar. He's singing a song on request called Willing.
Willing.
Yeah. I had never heard it.
Okay.
It's,
I'm gonna draw a blank.
It is Linda Ronstadt.
Okay.
And or, Little Feet.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the lines in it, where do I have it? It just cracked me up. Oh, weed, whites, and wine. That even caught Pam's attention.
Yeah.
That brought up my senior year in high school. I mean, that brought me...
Yeah, that's...
I never was big in all these kind of drugs, but whites? I could do whites.
Yeah, they were pretty popular back in the day.
Back in my day, yeah. I could do those like M&M's.
Yeah. They were definitely the finals were coming up.
Finals.
But I think people used other excuses before finals.
Finals. Right? Every day was a final. I was doing... I actually, like I do, I get to a point, I just flushed them one day.
Yeah.
I was living with a bunch of friends, and it was it was a wild house we had. Daryl from Houston and his brother and my buddy Dennis, who's dead now. But, yeah, we had – it was well, – you know what? It's funny. We didn't cocaine. No coke.
Good.
Whites. Yeah. Pot and whites.
No,
pot
that was
and
the,
whites.
That was the thing is that they just – they kept you up. You know, they used to call them they had all kinds of names. But, I mean, I know coming up in the 70s, I used to hear these stories of other kids who were involved in them.
Yeah.
So I knew they were around.
Crosstop.
Didn't want to get crosstops, black beauties. There's a lot of names for them.
I hadn't thought of that word in so long, and we're listening on Sunday. Weed, whites, and wine.
So Jack had to go learn those lyrics. I'm
but
sure
he said it. No, he sang it before.
Up.
He sang it, but he sang the song. Everybody in the room heard that song.
I probably.
But Pam and I didn't.
I got to find it, and then
it's Willing. I think it's Willing by Linda Ronstadt. It's a beautiful. You know, she's a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful version. And then Little Feet, more rough and, you know, honky-tonky.
Southern band with some jazz
going.
Yeah,
that was good. But I about crapped myself. I heard Weed, Whites, and Wine. I feel like my old buddy Daryl, who listens, and he also lives in Dallas or Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
His dad moved away. I don't know. But he just kind of lived around town. And he was only like 18 or 19. And we... his dad gave him a big white Cadillac, the old big Cadillac.
The fishtails on the back?
It didn't have fishtails. It was just a big-ass white Cadillac with a black roof. And and two doors.
Uh-huh.
One window broken out in the desert. I don't know how it was, but we used to get full of amphetamines, basically, and drive to Arizona.
Ah.
Went to Arizona two or three times, see my buddy Jeff at ASU. We remember stopping at a place called Stuckey's.
Mm.
It's the old highway. You know, I-40, or I-10.
Uh-huh.
I-40 goes through Tucson. I don't know where it goes. Where does it go? I-10 goes through Tucson. I mean, whatever, Phoenix. But we used to, it wasn't there then. You have to go through these weird little towns like Wickenburg. And
yeah.
I always stop at Stuckey's. And I came across, cleaning my garage a couple weeks ago, came across an ashtray. It says Stuckey's. It's funny. But that was all full of amphetamines. I don't know why it's signed. I wrote that name down. What, it's not the name of the song. Weed.
Yeah, just some of the lyrics.
Wine. Huh? We just, that was...
Like occasionally there's these Facebook groups that'll say, you know, what is one of your favorite like lines from a song? Not, you know, chorus or this, and I always put down the line from Truckin' by the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
I'd like to get some sleep before I travel, but if you got a warrant, I guess you're going to come in.
That was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Busted. Yeah, in Bourbon Street. If you got a warrant, I guess you're going to come in.
Yeah. That's just a Bob Weir kind of, like, he's just that guy. He's like, I'd like to get some sleep, but if you got a warrant, I guess you're going to come in.
About 80-something now. Still trying to get up there in May. I think it's May. We're going to go to the Dead.
No, yeah, in Vegas?
At the Sphere.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping it coincides with Jed Motley's got that hotel again with his super loaded friend with a couple extra rooms.
His degenerate gambling friend?
Yeah. with the Encore.
It's always nice to have one of those.
The degenerate gambling guy with a two-story room and an open bar.
Yeah.
Not just the honor bar.
Right.
And but anyway,
that's a goal in life, to be one of those guys to just get so much free stuff because I lose so much.
Yeah, and where they filmed their video in that suite.
Yeah,
the Pet Project. But we're going, hopefully, and then Pam and I will wander over to the Sphere. I don't have to, there's seats there. You don't get to see the entire visual effect.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see a lot of it, but you get the view of the stage and all the people up front.
Yeah.
It's about a third of the price.
Oh, wow.
I don't need a light show. I mean, really, I don't need the Sphere thing. So we're going to see. We'll buy tickets when we get there. But I've been told by everybody, including my wife, that I owe it to myself one more time before they finally disband or they're all dead of old age.
Well, especially for Bob, because, you know, he's really the OG. I mean, Jerry's gone.
Oh, yeah. He's it.
Phil, you know, the drummers are, you know, they got two of them. So, I mean.
They got two. They're interchangeable.
Right.
You know, so.
Mickey Hart, and I forget the other guy.
You're right.
Mickey Hart.
Bill Kreutzmann.
Okay.
My metal. That's the thing. The other day, Jack's playing the guitar. He picks up, somebody left a bottle there.
Okay.
So he picked it up, like a 7-Up bottle, put it in his finger, so going,
slide guitar.
And I went, Ry Cooter.
Yeah.
And Jack looks at me and goes, what?
Yeah.
I said, Ry Cooter. He goes, oh my God, I went to college and I don't remember. I remember Ry Cooter. I should have put it together. How the F do you know? I said, I have no idea. I can't play anything. But, in fact, Jed came over to my house and was showing me some on the guitar.
Uh-huh.
We didn't plug it in. He said, dump, dump, dump. He said, oh, every other fret.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
He said that too?
No, I told him.
Oh, yeah.
That was some big shot. But, Jack just goes, he never thought about Ry Cooter. How the hell did I know Ry Cooter?
Yeah.
We looked it up, and that's true.
I do actually remember a guest of yours referred to Ry Cooter.
Who's that?
Barry Levinson.
Oh, God, yes.
Because Barry did a lot of session work, and he said that the producer goes, if you can sound like Ry Cooter but beat his price, I'll be hiring you.
No shit, that's right.
You know, Ry Cooter was Ry Cooter was almost a Rolling Stone. You know, he did a lot of stuff, but, you know, when before Ron Wood came in, they had auditions, a number of people. Ry Cooter was kind of on their short list, and Ry Cooter just didn't want to do it.
So when you want to know the information, you talk to a DJ, a rock and roll DJ. You know this stuff.
I can't tell you anything else, but when it comes to music.
You know, like, I pulled the name right out of my ass, and you knew right about it.
He's a total session legend.
Yeah.
You know, more sessions than I couldn't name an album, but I know he's played on, you know,
I've seen him on
millions,
some kind of TV show. I saw him somewhere.
You've heard him. You just don't know the song.
But I saw him on TV. I wouldn't remember. I wouldn't have seen him somewhere. So.
Oh, yeah.
Just funny, but then somebody goes in that same session. He starts singing a song. I went, oh, Brandy by Looking Glass.
No, yeah.
How the hell do I know that? I don't know. And another song, all these 1970s.
Yeah. It's the long-term versus short-term memory.
That's funny.
You know, like I can remember a birthday from when I was 13 and the chocolate cake and the puka shells and the custom drilled bowling ball I got. I can't remember what last year's birthday was.
Jeez,
and it's not because I was, you know, partying. It's just because, like, I don't know. I got so much else in life right now of life. You know, like, I remember bills to pay, obligations, you know, and things coming up. I can name almost any starting lineup of any really good team from the 1970s. A's, Dodgers, Reds, I mean, Yankees, really good World Series teams, right? I can't name today's starting lineup from... I could probably give you the Dodgers startup. I certainly couldn't give you the A's.
They change so fast.
They do. And I just, you know, I turn on a game and like there's sometimes I'm like, oh, and I follow baseball a lot. I mean, I do fantasy baseball, so I'm really try to stick on top of it, but just life is so busy. Now, back when I was a kid and I looked at my baseball cards and I was sitting around going, oh, it's 1 o'clock and the pregame show doesn't start till 4 and the game doesn't start till 5. And I was like, listening to every word on those broadcasters, you know,
because
I had nothing else to do all summer long except wait for the baseball game today.
Wait for you to get old enough to be a real DJ.
You know, and you're like, okay, the A's play and then the Giants play, and, you know, what else are we going to do? Go play baseball in the park, go trade baseball cards, ride bikes.
The A's, well, you could have played in the Angels' A Stadium since nobody else was there.
Speaking of the Angels, I have decided, you know, I have not been to enough baseball games in my Southern California life.
Yeah.
I've been to a handful. I think the last baseball game I went to was with you, and we saw them beat the Rockies. Chris Taylor hit a home run and extra innings.
That's right.
And that's over 5 years ago, 6 years ago. You know, I have not been to, and before that it was probably 6 years before the last game. I've been to like three Dodger games in 20 years. That's not a good record.
No.
So, anyway, Dodgers are... They sell out, they're popular, they're expensive, and I get it, because they are the most popular L.A. team over the Lakers and over, like, probably USC, certainly over the Rams. But I've decided I could probably, I did the math, I could probably drive from where we're sitting at our top-secret location to Anaheim Stadium in about the same amount of time it would take me to go from the L.A. Coliseum or Staples Center to Dodger Stadium. Probably about 45 minutes. I've done it a few times.
Exactly.
And, okay. I mean, you think, okay, we're 5 miles away. You're still an hour away.
Yeah.
You already got the busiest part of the city and then throw another 50,000 people in there.
Right.
I know I can go to Anaheim in less time than if you were to, like, I would almost, I got to do an experiment one of these days. But anyway, I decided I'm going to go to Angels game. So I got tickets for the second game of the season. They're playing the team formerly known as the Indians, now the Guardians.
I thought you were going to opening day.
It's a Friday, and I got band practice.
The opening day is on Thursday.
The Angels are on a Friday.
Okay, maybe I can go. I have it for Thursday at 12:55.
I think the Tigers are playing the... Dodgers.
Gotta look it up because I just found out yesterday I can't go to the game because Mr. Mike Webb, the city attorney, is no longer going to be in office. He retired, and I'm helping his wife with the retirement party.
Okay.
At HT Grill.
All right.
I gotta go tomorrow and set it up with her, and she could have 200 people come and go.
Cool.
Told her to bring a big girl credit card. But I also have the Angels opening day at 1 p.m. on March 27th, we're going to look it up before we get out of here, because Feed the Kitties playing.
At the Angels game.
Opening day.
Oh,
in the outfield.
Okay.
And it's a private event for certain season ticket holders.
Yeah.
So you can hear over the fence.
Okay.
But I think I can get in. If I go, I'm going to get into that show. Pam and I were talking about going. When is the Angels open? Anybody, come on.
Yeah, let me go on here.
Last Angel game I went to, Ken Griffey Jr. was a rookie in Seattle.
Wow.
And now he's 50 or, you know, whatever.
He's well retired.
He's well retired.
His tickets is deferred money, though. He gets a million a year.
Yeah, holy shit.
He's one of those guys.
I know. That's the best thing to do. Angels open. See, when you do what I did, and you go to parochial school, you say angles. Angels opening day. Let's see here, because I do want to go. If I don't care about the game, I want to see the band.
Yeah.
But they are supposedly I don't know. Come on. Let's look it up, everybody. Help me out here.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
March 11th. We got opening day. Come on, everybody. Oh, you got the Dodgers. March. That's a fake game. Regular season Thursday. Home opener is March 27th, Thursday, at 1:10 p.m. against the White Sox. It says regular season home opener.
Oh, that's on the road.
Oh, at the White Sox?
Yeah, that's an away game.
Okay, so where's the opening?
It is April the 4th.
Got it, okay.
Friday the 4th.
Holy moly, I can go.
It's a night game.
We'll have to go together, maybe.
Well, I got practice.
Oh, jeez.
I know I got practice. We got a show coming up in 2 weeks after that. Because the Giants are in town the weekend of our show.
Tuesday, March 4th. Well, what's Monday, March 3rd? Oh, Jesus.
Monday, March 3rd already happened.
Excuse me. I'm looking at... My phone's not going there.
Okay.
All right, we'll figure it out. Anyway, I don't need to know that bad.
Because today is the 11th.
March 3rd. What's my memory? What's March 3rd? Well, we already passed that.
That was last Monday.
I should start drinking again.
I know. You're minded. You go, oh, I remember that because I was at a bar when I...
Jesus, holy mother of God. It's been 4 months and I'm forgetting what happened last week.
Yeah, but...
That's funny.
Yeah, so I'm going to go to the game against Cleveland on Saturday the 5th. It'll be the Angels' second home game, and it's wall calendar night. And I found tickets for less than $20 on a site that does the resale thing. And I've already been sent my ticket, my electronic ticket, and I have it in my phone. And I just was looking, and, you know, with this these secondary sales ticket apps,
yeah,
a lot of times they have last minute tickets. I have looked throughout the season, and you know the Angels are not as popular as the Dodgers, and that's not why I'm going there. I'm going there strictly because of access and convenience. Even though it's further away,
yeah,
it's easier to get into. And I've been I have done a lot of.
Is it really farther away? I mean, longer.
I could look it
probably
up.
Probably as. You drive is farther away.
But I mean, as far as time, again, I know even last summer I drove, I had a ride from Marina Del Rey to the playoff game, and I happened to be one of the players' moms, which is interesting.
Okay, that's good.
And, we're going along. It was traffic, and, she left in plenty of time. It was an hour trip expected. It was like the first half hour was okay, and then, we got to around... USC Memorial Coliseum, right there, and you're like,
yeah,
5 miles tops from Dodger Stadium exit. It took like the entire second half of the trip. It was like another 30 minutes. And then I got to like where you got on the I-5, and it was like another 20 minutes. And I'm just like, God bless America. This is
more time.
But let me, from where.
April, I got it here.
So from the top secret location. Dodger Stadium is 15 miles. Now, that does not have to do with the traffic again because...
Correct.
Unless it's 2 a.m. Even at 2 a.m., you're going to get Hollywood party traffic coming home.
Right.
Angel Stadium is 28 miles away. And...
Angel Stadium. Here we are playing on our phones as we're at the radio.
So, it's literally twice as far, but... I would say literally the same amount of time, and you're going to hit traffic at Angel Stadium, too. It's not like there's no traffic in Anaheim in Orange County, because there is, and it's close to Disneyland, and that's certainly a destination spot. I'm going to give it a shot, and I bought some tickets for a Saturday night game for $19.
Really?
And I'm going to get a wall calendar out of it.
Really? Okay.
And,
well,
the funny thing is, I was born in Orange County before we moved up north.
I remember you said that.
And
yeah.
The Angels actually would have been my hometown team. I mean, I might have, found the Dodgers growing up, and I might have gone, oh, they're a better team, because they were and have been. I mean, the Angels have won championship, and power to them. That's more than the Cleveland teams.
The monkeys. The rally monkeys.
And it happened against, the Giants, so it was interesting. I knew the Dodgers were more popular than the Giants, but Boy, there's all kinds of Dodger fans becoming Angel fans back when that World Series was happening. It's just like...
Because we want the Giants' plane to crash.
You know.
In a manner of speaking.
I understand. Because Northern California has the same... Maybe even more, like...
They hate us. That's why we hate them. I like Lincecum.
Uh-huh.
Little guy with a fast... Man, he was fat. And then who's the catcher they had?
Oh, Posey. He's now the...
Yeah, general manager.
General manager.
But he was good. But yeah. I don't...
I get it.
I don't care about the players, just the fans.
It's so much fun to have a rivalry. I mean, I get it. And I think it's cool. I think it's cool being on both sides. Now I'm down here and I see how the LA people view the rivalry. And I tell you, there's times where, you know, Giants or Niners will lose to an LA team, and I'll see my friends from Northern California just complaining. And I sit there and I just actually kind of laugh and I go, well, you know, I might have been pulling for the Niners, but at least it ruined their day. You know, like 3 days later, they're still complaining about last Sunday's game. I mean, in 3 minutes, I'm pretty much over it. I mean, I might go, oh, well, they didn't win. Or, oh, well, I lost $10.
Yeah.
Life still goes on. I was entertained by the game. You know, it is what it is. You can't win them all.
No, but we can try to beat every team in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Kurt Gibson's home run was only topped by Freeman's home run.
Yeah.
And that was Oakland, though. It wasn't the Giants, mm-hmm. I know, for what's his name? Actually, I forgot his name. I just said his name. I forgot it.
I know.
Yeah, gee, holy moly. This radio thing's killing me. But yeah, I think the kids are killing me at home. I got too many things going on.
We're all so busy nowadays.
Busy. I'm busier than I ever have been. I should go back and get a real job. And, it was easier going to work.
Yeah, so trying to manufacture an excuse to be somewhere.
Yeah, and I've been going home, you know, go to the gym and go for the walks. We walk the kids, and they're a lot of fun. But you can't do anything today. It's raining.
Right.
When it rains, we're dead. We're toast here. Let's see my sister get back to me. Yeah, I said left my sister a message for you do a verbal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking to your phone instead of typing it in. Hey Sue instead of Susie.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be Susie.
Yeah.
But it just corrects to Sue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But you're driving, you're coming down, you're talking. I said, make sure you listen. That's all. So I got to have at least a few people listening.
Yeah.
So.
You know what I used to do in college radio? Because I was afraid no one was listening to college radio station.
Yeah.
And I was doing overnights. So when I first started, just as a superstitious thing, I would turn on my clock radio, which I still have. I've had this thing since I was in sixth grade. I'm amazed it still works. I mean, old technology is technology compared to the current stuff.
Oh, God, yeah.
Anyway, I would, I'd have to get in at 2 a.m., 2 to 6 was the overnight show in college. And, you know, I have to get up at 12 o'clock, make sure I was awake within half an hour so I could drive there, be there a half hour early, start making coffee and whatnot. I would always leave my radio on at home very low, but just knowing that there was one radio somewhere that was tuned in to my entire show, listening
from
beginning to end. And in all the other radio stations I did, I did that as well. Now we're on the internet. I don't leave a computer on somewhere.
Right.
But I used to always leave my little clock radio at home, tuned in to my show, so that somewhere there would be a radio station uninterrupted broadcasting my entire program.
You got to listen. One person listened to your whole show.
One show somewhere.
That is
maybe just my cat.
That's true.
There was an entity tuned in.
Well, you want to think somebody's listening.
Always.
You know,
and people always are.
Yeah, they
whether
are.
You know or just, not.
Yeah, I know. I don't. If I went by people that commented, I would never show up.
Right.
Only a few people comment or they say, "Well, I heard you." I've random people say, "Oh, that was nice, whatever," but then they don't comment.
Oh, the amount
month
of
later.
The amount of people I've run into just in Redondo political meetings and support events that will see me and ask me who I am or. Or how I'm, why I'm associated, why I'm there, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I know Steve. How do you know Steve? I've produced his radio show for 12 years.
Okay.
I heard you. You know, it's just interesting. Oh, face, putting the face to the voice.
Oh, there you go. Well, you look like a radio star. You look like a rock and roller here.
I look like
I'm old man.
Something. I don't know what people think, but they look at me and they go, He's probably important, but we don't know why.
He's got the hair.
You know, he's
got the hair.
Something
he's got the look.
About him, and we
he's
just
got the,
don't
he's
know.
He's got the tattoos why. Perfectly. They don't stick out too much. And there was a guy at the HT Grill the other day. Turned out to be a great guy, but he first saw him, he went, "Oh my God!"
Did he have big hoop piercings?
Yes.
I may have driven him to that show.
Shaved head, kind of side, not shaved, but
cropped, close cropped,
with tattoos on his head.
I don't
right side of his head.
I don't remember seeing those, but he definitely had some piercings and some tattoos. He sat behind me, and his girlfriend or wife sat in the.
And she had a kid?
Yes.
And she was a little bit bigger?
A little bit.
A blondish?
Very. That was them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
His head was kind of shaved on the side. He had rough tattoos on his neck, and his hands were all covered in tattoos.
I didn't see all of those, but I did see some ink as they were getting in the car.
You Ubered him to the HT
Grill. And they get in the car, and I'm like, all right, we're going to HT Grill. And I'm like, and she's like, yep, we're going to see Feed the Kitty.
And they were going there for that?
She said it with just like that. Yep, we're going to see Feed the Kitty.
I had never seen them before, and he knew everything about it, and he was asking for, he was requesting songs.
And then she goes, you've probably never heard of them. And I started laughing and go, I could probably call Jed or Jack right now, and, you know, I'm personal friends. I've known them for at least 10 years.
That's amazing, yeah.
You know, and then we're pulling up. Like, oh, there's Jed right there. He was out, he just probably loaded in and was going back to his car to get something or just.
That's funny. You know, when they first show up with a little kid, I'm going, oh, Jesus Christ. When you see a little kid in the bar, it's like seeing a dog.
You know, and that kid was interesting.
The kid was cool.
The girl, the lady goes, yeah, I'm going to see Fee the Kitty. And then the kid goes, they suck. And then they're like, you don't know what sucks or what doesn't.
She was fine. I would, but yeah.
To her, everything sucked. It was like, and I'm like, okay, I can tell this word gets thrown around the household from time to time because she's about four and she didn't pick this up at school yet because I don't think she's old enough for school.
It gives you by looks. You got to be careful on looks. You look like the kind of guy you didn't want to put in your cab, probably. Your car. Oh, my God. Guy sat down and went, oh, Jesus. So I pull out a picture of Bubba, my stepson. He's got more tattoos than this guy.
Yeah.
And I was going to walk over and show it. We were sitting like 3 feet apart.
That's so funny.
I was going to give him, because he ended up being pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he's requesting songs and smiling and happy. You know, I'm telling Pam, I go, well, just because he has tattoos on his forehead, which he did.
Yeah.
Didn't make him, you know, international thief.
No.
You know, or mass murderer or something. Yeah. He was a good guy. And,
yeah.
But he seemed to know what he was requesting. Mm-hmm. It was fun. And you drove him there.
Yeah. I picked him up and we're going to. I hit the thing, it says HT Grill, and I'm like, okay, good. I know exactly where it is. I don't need to look at my map.
Right.
At least I know exactly how to get there. And then she was like, we're going to see Feed the Kitty.
Feed the effing kitty. That's
just
funny. I have to ask Jed if he knew these people.
I don't know, because they didn't, when I said I knew them, they didn't say anything other than they like them.
Because I've been to a few of their gigs, obviously.
You've seen them once or twice, yeah.
I've never seen that dude. That's why I noticed him. He sat real close, but mm-hmm. I mean, we're... Somebody made a comment, and somebody else went, oh, my God, they're going to get in trouble now. Like somebody made a not-so-pleasant comment. It wasn't me that made the comment about his tattoos. I went, yeah, well, I don't have any, but give the guy a break. He's probably cool, and he was.
Mm-hmm.
Just said, as I told Pam, I said, I'm going to get a monarch butterfly tattooed on my shoulder, and Jay knows the guy. I told her, you have a friend or something. She goes, you're not getting a tattoo. That's not you. It's so not you. I go, it isn't me, really. And she also said, Steve, I've known you for all these years. You get a little tattoo, in about 2 years, you'll have 100.
Yep.
And she goes, like, yeah, I brought the guitar home. She goes, how long is that going to last? You know, one of your normal little, you know, you got something for 6 months, you give it up.
At least you didn't spend any money.
Yeah. So
you know, you didn't invest $200 or anything.
I said, you know, my little way of doing shit for free just about means you didn't have to work for the last 32 years. And it was, you know, she was a good stay-at-home mom. Everybody goes, well, you can't be a stay-at-home mom anymore. Well, you have to sacrifice.
Something's got to go.
Yeah, something's got to give. Our daughters are dying. They're having two kids. And one has two. They're at my house all the time. Thank God. I mean, my parents never babysat.
Right.
Pam's parents never babysat.
Right.
Not even for a couple hours. They watch them at a soccer game when I'd go, you know, get a Coke or have a cocktail in the car or something. But No, whatever. But it's just a lot of work. But it's amazing, rewarding experience.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. Wow. And we were, talking about kids again. See, right in the middle of a sentence, I'm just going zoom, 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 playing the guitar. That's right. I get it out. Thump, thump, thump. I want to get the first couple of things, dum dum da dum, mm-hmm. for Touch of Grey. And the same one's almost, now you got me watching the bass player instead of the real guitarist, I guess. Mother doing watching Jed play the other day, and I'm making fun of the real guitar, but when you don't have a bass, it's really nasty. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of bored without hearing the drums.
Right, right.
Because we just start doing air drums. Like they, melt with you.
Yeah.
You got to have the drums.
You're like, it's not there, and I know it's there.
You got to have the drums on some of these songs. Yeah, but anyway, the bass, I've been watching Jed play the bass more.
Yeah.
Close and going, and watching his fingers, they do move pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, you use a whole hand, not just one or two fingers.
Yeah.
That's funny. But I notice it more. She gave me that guitar. I still can't do anything, but mm-hmm. just started watching the bass player and then listening. And, yeah, if you don't pay attention, you just think it's part of the music. Blends right in.
It's kind of the cool thing about the bass. And I remember before I was playing, I was working a part-time job, and a guy was a bass player, and he was in a band, and they were opening for this band called Agent Orange that had been a punk rock band in the 80s, I remember playing. And, me and a few of the other guys, went to go support him. They played down in Orange County in a strip mall. Been Bolsa Chica in Huntington.
Agent Orange plays in Orange County.
Yeah, imagine that.
And for the Orange President.
the Orange
fundraiser for the Orange
Curtain. But I remember asking him, going, you know what? So I was always kind of thinking about picking up the bass. It was just, I go, yeah, I think I could probably handle that. Now, guitar is probably there's a lot of lost time to become an accomplished player, in a band or anything for that. But I was just asking him, going, do you think the bass is easier? He goes, well, it might be easier, but if you make a single mistake, everyone in the crowd knows, because you're basically supporting the entire foundation of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Your object is really not to be noticed. Kind of be heard, but not noticed. It's like when the foundation of the house has a crack in it, that's when the bass player screws up. It's like the band, it sounds like everybody makes a mistake.
Okay.
And it's really maybe just the bass player did. But it's just this subtle foundation of all the music. And there's certain moments or bass players who, stand out a little more in certain genres of music, mainly the R&B and funk, where the bass is just way more...
More to it.
But more dominant, a little more of the... Bam, bam, that kind of...
And they're using more body language.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sting
standing there playing his bass, singing a song.
Yeah. The most part, it's just kind of this, like, and you listen really subtle, and the song's there, and there's this little hum bass bottom part that's holding it up. If you really, physically look at it, the bass would be, like, underneath, like a big scoop of a salad bowl, and all the other instruments would be the salad fixings in there, but that's like the salad bowl underneath. It sort of holds it all together, really. I mean, there's times where I've gone out of town, and the band will practice, and they're like, we really missed you having the bass player. We sounded like crap. Not having a bass in the band is just crummy.
And you're supposed to be hidden, though. Ooh.
Yeah. But it just works out. I mean, I play as, what the volume is, but when the band mixes together, it's just that subtle thing that holds it all together. Like, even when I practice my bass by myself, it's like, I know that I'm playing the song correctly and playing the right notes, and I'm listening to the song on my phone or whatever, but it's kind of boring. When the band is playing, it's kind of cool. And the bass I have, like, I read a lot of engineers, like, because they go, the Fender P bass is the most used bass in recordings. I'm like, okay, there must be some reason why.
Yeah.
So I'm reading, because I was looking, should I get a jazz bass or a P bass? And there's always this debate. They're both really good. They both have subtle differences. Now, a jazz bass might give you a more variety if you're just playing on your own. The P bass, when it's mixed with everything else, engineers just know it goes right here, and everything else fills around it, and it just sounds good. It's a basic explanation, but that was basically after all the research I did.
A B-bass, and what's the other one called?
More, jazz, Fender Jazz.
Way more information than I need. Yeah. I don't need that to play. A P-bass.
Yeah. It's short for precision. It was the original electric bass.
I thought it knew when you had to go pee or something.
Yeah.
You wear diapers when you're playing, right? So you don't want to get off the stage. I got to go pee. That's pretty amazing. You can know the different type of guitars.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just interesting. Let's see if I can play it. Since you handed me a guitar, I've been watching it more. Let me pay mm-hmm. attention more. It's kind of weird.
Absolutely.
The only people you ever watch would play bass would be Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Yeah, because he was entertaining.
yeah.
Bill Wyman, no, just stood there and see. But he's good. He's held a guitar weird, and he never smiled.
Right.
And just stood there and played.
And he was a lot older than the rest of the Stones.
And he quit with all his money, and he's home happily ever after.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then. But yeah, most bass players are in the background. But
right.
I guess you're right. If you do mess up, sometimes, like the band we like, they leave their tambourine out.
Uh huh.
For no reason, and then just you know stir up the fans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always the wrong person that grabs the tambourine.
Always. And you think, anyone could play the tambourine, but that's not true.
I'm not going to use names, but you know who you are. If you see me at the bar, I go, oh no, here we go again. They get up, they're always off.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really messes up the band, doesn't it?
The rhythm, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, musicians always like to secretly laugh at fans who clap on the one and the three.
The one and the three.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the two and the four generally, but, you know, when you're just clapping on the wrong count. There's four counts.
You just mentioned a candidate for mayor a minute ago from karaoke. Always on the wrong clap. wrong sync. Jeff. Oh my God, give a bad name for karaoke.
Just some people are challenged when it comes to
really,
rhythm. And
really bad
things, you know?
Rhythm.
But he has gusto for karaoke, you know.
He's got gusto for life. Not, it's not fine. I'm not criticizing him. Just go like, oh my God, he's going to sing again. He's always off when he shakes his arms or something, trying to be, you know, Frank Sinatra or something.
Little body language in the performance.
It's always off.
Yeah.
And go like, oh no, stop. Just stand there like, you know, pretend you're, just think of some Dean Martin. I don't know, if somebody just stands there and sings.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's just trying to rock out there. It cracks me up. You're always off. And when the people come in and grab a tambourine, and that should be, the police should just carry tambourines and use those as a breathalyzer. Because you can tell when people are drinking on a tambourine, they're always out of whack.
Oh, yeah.
Really out of whack. And then they start singing, they shouldn't even get close to driving home.
Oh, God.
And I don't know how you guys do it. I talk to the boys in the band, like Jack, and you know, let them drink.
Right. And that helps not drinking because you know, there's a lot going on. I know.
Jack's 10 years, but they all quit. And Matthew, their lead singer now at Pet Project, he hadn't drank in quite a long time.
Because,
right. So he's asking me about it. I go, well, I'm not in some thing here. I just haven't had one.
Yeah.
And I'll probably have another one so people stop asking me about it, you know. But it's just, I don't want to, if you start, you feel like you failed.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that right
yeah.
now. But it's weird. People are drinking, and then they start, their rhythm goes out the door. They get more less inhibited, but they
yes.
start singing and dancing, and they're really bad. But
yeah.
Matthew goes, yeah, you're welcome to my madness.
Uh-huh.
He goes, when you play gigs at night,
yeah.
he goes, when we're over at 11 o'clock or something, the people are just really
Everyone's tight. Blitzed.
So yeah, I've yeah. never paid attention to that really that much. But, because the truth, I can't remember the last time I was blitzed.
Yeah.
But you know what? The last time I had a drink, I was overserved.
Uh-huh.
I was walking to the car, and somebody, Mike Ball, my old office partner, good buddy, started giving me Irish coffees at Rockefeller, and the band was playing.
Uh-huh.
Halloween-y.
Okay.
The night before Halloween, I guess. The night after, I don't remember. It was Halloween. So I was home on Halloween. Anyway, started drinking Irish coffees, and I went to go to the truck, and I already gave Pam the keys. I don't drive.
Yeah.
Anyway. Did something because Jed goes to Pam. Is he okay? Should I help him? So I must have hit some airway for something, staggered or something. So
yeah.
Anyway, the next day I took a day off and it's been 4 months.
Yeah.
But and I put on 5 pounds. Figure that one out.
Yeah. And normally the weight just drops.
It didn't. I'd already been doing all this stuff anyway, so
yeah.
I haven't missed a gym or anything. But oh yeah, well this is bullshit. But might be.
I mean, that happens when you quit smoking. Your taste buds go, hey, that's what pasta tastes like.
We had pasta yesterday for the first time in a year. I was trying to do that keto thing, but I'm tired of this stuff here. So basically, just get, you know, probably lay off of Pam's brownies and cookies, because I'm one of those guys that do like to have the food.
I cannot turn down a cookie. Like, seriously, when it comes to, like, addictions, cookies are one I really cannot kick. I, like, literally cannot buy cookies. I mean, I'll sit there and have a debate with myself at the grocery store.
Exactly.
Oh, these cookies are on sale. Oh, they're sugar-free, gluten-free. And I'm like, they're cookies?
And still 200 calories for like four of them.
Yeah, you're gonna tell yourself you're gonna eat two because that's 400 calories, but you're gonna eat two and then you're gonna eat two more and then two more and two more after that.
I feel like
then
we're
gonna have a whole rack of cookies.
We're on The View right now. We're talking about calories and cookies.
Calories and cookies.
Oh, I feel so gay. I'm a cookie monster. I did buy some for the grand girls the other day.
That's been the toughest one for me. I'm sitting there looking at the Girl Scout going,
I didn't buy any Girl Scout cookies this year, but I gave the girls some. The sugar-free, they're the little wafer things. It should have nothing. They're still bad.
Right.
But my daughter gets in my face yesterday. Well, wait, you grew up on these things. Well, I was that bad of dad? So I gave her the cookie anyway. I said, nope, she's here. She gets a cookie. I already showed it to her. So I'm not giving her pot. Not giving her heroin. Give her a cookie.
Cookie.
And they're in good shape, blah, blah, blah. So just deal with it. But the kids, they don't want their kids having sugar.
I understand.
You know, and or whatever. They didn't get into their cookies.
Yeah.
But I think cookies, I ask Pam all the time, will you make a batch of plain ones?
Uh-huh.
Everybody wants at least two cookies. I'm a two-cookie person.
Yeah.
So if you give me one of your famous ones, and I want two famous ones, and then they pick me out.
They do.
They do, because she doesn't measure it. She just makes this butter.
I remember the last ones, I had a cookie, and I'm like, next thing you know, like, I better go to bed, because I've been sleeping on this chair for a while.
I should have brought you the brownies, but they didn't last.
That's okay.
They were good. She's going to make them again. I'll bring you some, but I told her you got to measure it out better.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a brownie. This wasn't that big.
Uh-huh.
And I was actually at Project Barley the other day, and I was standing there, and I went and sat down, and Pam goes, what's the matter? I go, I'm sitting down for a minute. What's the matter? I don't feel good. What's the matter? You okay? I think I'm going to pass out or something. I go, no, I think it's your brownie just kicked in, and I'm ready to sit down fast. And no booze, no nothing, but I'm cracking up going, well, just make, you should have made some plain brownies too. So I had to have two.
Yeah.
Can't have just one. So today at the Ace, talk about cookies, Ace Hardware, I got a coupon. You spend $20, you get $5 off.
Okay.
So I go buy some stuff. I'm rebuilding the sit ski that I have that broke, and they don't manufacture them anymore. It's out of business. So I'm pulling out all the stops of my old days, and I took it apart, and I remanufactured it. So hopefully it doesn't blow up. But so I had to get some reupholstery done on the seat. Anyway, I'm playing with this thing, and I'm going, how can you do this if you can't do this thing if you're loaded?
No.
But I'm going to Pam. I go, see, if we were out on the river, you could have one cookie, but not two. You can't sit on this thing with two cookies.
Right.
You need to have a plain one. So anyway, the story about the cookies. I came home with two packs of Chips Ahoy today. They hold four cookies each.
Okay.
And they're $2.50 a pack.
Wow.
Not blaming Donald Trump for this inflation or anything. Just it's at the hardware store at the counter.
You know, right. I always go to the hardware store for my cookie fits.
Well, the reason I did, I had a coupon. You spend $20, you save $5.
There you go.
So it was like $17.50, and I just needed some screws for this sit ski.
So you bought some cookies to put you over.
So I need $2.50 or $3. Well, it came out like 7 cents short.
Yeah.
So I bought a second pack.
Yeah.
And it's more expensive than cocaine when you buy it at the hardware store.
Right.
But I got my $5 back.
Nice. Credit.
So I probably saved money by buying them. But I got them and gave them to the kids.
Cool.
And I'll keep them for the backup. So if I get a real cookie, I can have a fake one.
Uh-huh.
But Pam, I mean, I'm like a little kid when she does. I lick the bowl.
Yeah.
And the spoon. And probably,
I love cookies.
I do too. Cookies
I lick the spoons, the little thing.
It's amazing.
The little mixer, the little...
They call me the cookie monster in my house. I could down. I haven't. That's why just trying to, you know, when you get your fat F and then you're trying to lose all the weight, you hate to start eating again, so I don't want to, you know, put this stuff back on. But, no, I love cookies. I can eat. There's not a cookie I don't like.
Yeah. You know, my mom.
What's your favorite? Okay, what's your favorite?
Chocolate chip. I'm a chocolate chip guy. I love peanut butter cookies. Oatmeal cookies with raisins are pretty good.
Those peanut butter ones that look like they're pressed out of a...
Yeah, and you got the little fork indentation on top.
Yeah, yeah, one of these things. They're good. And then, peanut butter cookies are great.
And then if you really want to go kind of fancy around Christmas time, it's the only time I see them. And my mom used to make them all the time. I haven't seen them as much recently, but those Russian tea cakes.
Well, I don't know about
those.
They're,
like, covered in, like, powdered sugar.
Okay.
And they kind of look like a vanilla wafer. They're, like, just very thick. Just maybe butter cookies with powdered sugar. So you can tell how really healthy these are. Because, I mean, you know, you're talking about Chips Ahoy is, like, 220 per two cookies. These Russian tea cakes are probably about 50.
You've seen most Russian women.
Yes.
Okay. Well, better not make fun of Russians right now. We're getting in trouble.
No,
oh, my God.
Don't
I am.
Do
hell
that.
With it. It's cookies. Russian tea cake.
Russian tea cake.
I've been all around the world. I've gotten cookies, but I don't know that one. I've come home with the cookies from Ireland and from England, the shortbread cookies. There's nothing on them.
Uh-huh.
They're always in the tins.
Yes.
Oh, they're really good.
Yeah, I always get those around Christmas.
Yeah.
The blue tins.
The tins.
Butter cookies.
Yeah, butter cookies. You got to get those, and you dip them in coffee or tea or something.
Yeah, they're great. Great.
So, we had to buy a new coffee pot. I broke it out. My little Keurig finally stopped working, so I went to Walmart last week. We got one. The one they had on sale was not, they're all gone. I bought one for $21. It was plastic. I mean, it barely worked.
Yeah.
It was a Keurig. But Pam didn't like it. It was plastic, so she ordered another one for $100.
Oh.
It does the same thing. It just looks better.
Yeah.
It's all metal. It's not plastic.
No.
It doesn't do anything special. And I go, well, okay, but don't get mad at me because you bought the $100 one. I said, I could have bought five of these. They would last 15 years because every time it breaks, I'd throw it away.
Yeah.
But anyway, now you know why they drink a lot of coffee when you go to the Al-Anons or something. Cause I just drink coffee now.
Yeah.
I'll have to give that up someday.
Yeah, my body's like, you've had enough coffee.
I don't do anything. I gave up everything, even like cigarettes and cigars. That was July 7th, 2000, on our anniversary. And just cold turkey. And it's just weird. But it's no fun to go out when you're not having...
It's different.
You need to have vices. The world's better with vices. That'd be a new song to write. The world is way more fun if you have a few vices. So, I don't know.
Well, to say, here's some advice. They're telling you to add a vice.
Add a vice. That's right.
Here's some advice. And just go, okay, I need to add a vice into my life.
The English language.
You know,
Jesus Christ.
I need to add a vice.
Add a vice. I've gone through all these vices. I don't want to go start them over again. That's amazing. Yeah, even being a politician's advice in some people's eyes. You know,
And there's an addiction to it. You know, the notoriety. Maybe a little bit of power.
It is now. Poor Joan. I know you're probably listening, Joan, but it gets in your system. Joan Irvine, Georgette Gantner, and Jeff Ginsburg ran. They all lost for mayor. Joan came in first of those three candidates. I said, well, you're going to lose the election, but at least you beat Jeff and Georgette. So take that to the bank. Jeff's been around a lot longer, paying attention longer than you have. He's a former councilman.
Right.
So anyway, but you sure find out. You know, it gets into your system.
Yeah.
And when you run for office, people just assume you must be a big shot.
Right.
And,
because it takes big ones.
Yeah, big balls
to step up and do that.
So she's running for mayor, and she walks into HT Grill, and Jack starts playing the president song. Whatever, do that one song. Anyway, and she comes into all these, you know, applause, and she's eating it up. And then she looks at me and she got a little embarrassed. She goes, oh, well, sorry. So that's okay. You were running for mayor. I wasn't. But everybody in the world, I'm exaggerating, but everybody knows what a mayor is. Or they've heard mayor. They don't know what a councilman is. Or council member, male or female, doesn't matter.
Right.
They know what a mayor is. They don't even know what an assembly person is or a senator. They know mayors and presidents.
And governors, maybe.
Yeah, governors. Yeah,
but you're in charge of the state.
You talk to kids, or you talk to people, cabbies, Uber drivers. I told every Uber driver I ever had when I was back east, I was a mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they're going to come over and grab you. I mean, they're happy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, wow, I got a mayor with me. But that's what gets into your system when you're running, and then you lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's not going to be giving speeches.
Right.
Like she's giving now. And then the other day, she told me she's going to meet with the incoming mayor, the current mayor, Jim, the appointed mayor.
Did he?
Well, he's going to win.
Looking that way?
He's ahead so far.
Yeah, okay. I know that, it was about a week ago when the first initial results, and it was him and...
We kissed and made up. We're not going to ever be friends. We're friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, he said some dastardly things about me and produced some pictures of Pam and things. Not pictures, of drawings, that he as he described them. But, you know, I just don't have time to continue.
At some point, life is too short to just be angry or resentful.
So, yeah, I did.
Because all it does is really take away your life. Because I once heard a saying, you know, holding a grudge or resent is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to fall and die.
That's
or
true.
Get sick.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Expecting different results.
Yeah.
Well,
I've had to come to that lesson in my life.
You drank poison a few times? Oh, it's always over a woman, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, not probably. I've been around for a couple of them.
That's why I'm single.
Yeah.
And happy.
Stay that way.
I plan on it.
I love my wife. I couldn't be single now, but you know, I just tell people, you know, if you haven't gotten in that situation, just stay what you're doing.
That's.
And date them and live with them.
Yeah.
You know, but
100%.
You're not listening, are you, Pam? Please, but anyway, she'll hear about that. But Jim, you know, he's going to win. He's ahead by 800 votes. Nobody, not anybody, but 1,000 people want the other guy that he's beating, the council member.
Yeah.
So anyway, I talked to him about cannabis and stuff. He came to Rotary, so we chatted for a minute, and we about because he knows that I know that he knows that he and I got it in writing. I have pictures, and we had those. I didn't have him subpoenaed, but the other guy did on all their emails.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he's fine. And he ruffled my feathers when we had some agreements in place about density and building. And he decided to still go out and get this measure deed. He can get signatures. So it's messed up everything as far as I'm concerned. So he came to the podium once, and I was still a council member, and ragged on us. Just sit there for 3 minutes and treat us totally rudely. As people can do, and you can't respond.
Right.
So, but I did. Funny, he sat down, he was way back in his chair, and I went, well, just for the record, that Jim Light is more toxic to the city of Redondo Beach than the cancer in my rectum is to me. On the record, in the newspapers.
That was a pretty scathing return there.
Pretty scathing. I pulled it right out of my ass, right there. He's more toxic than the cancer in my rectum. And he let out a grunt from, you could hear it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that kind of made the whole relationship go south, but that's what I still believe, and they killed a lot of projects. But he'll be the mayor, and he's in favor right now because they voted on the cannabis thing, and even though there's council members and people trying to rewrite history.
Oh, I know.
They think it didn't work. Well, it didn't get approved. It did. And it's just too. And if people have to understand, you go to these places, they're not the den of inequities people make them out to be. Like a little head shop on Sunset Strip when I was a teenager is worse than these are.
Yeah.
And
we're going over to Dave, your friend's house, and, you know, you know, you go there and you go, this is just wrong. You know, first of all, this guy has, you know, things in his house that I normally would not want to be around if it wasn't for I'm looking for item A.
Well, they have all these bootleg places, and they operate till they get closed.
They do,
and they don't get busted.
Used to be one right off the street.
So people wonder why
the church.
The church on the corner. Yeah, they keep. And that's not Snoop Dogg.
No.
Some guy said it's Snoop Dogg on the artwork outside. I said, no.
No, it's actually Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, Nipsey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
And that's just a pipe store.
It was a pipe store.
Behind there.
Yeah, I knew the owner of the building.
Yeah.
So, but they all these pot shops are popping up.
Mm-hmm. And Pam, I went to a new one in Gardena.
I went to one in across from Ralph's in Torrance about 2 years ago.
Oh yeah.
And all I did was tell the people that I know that are trying to get into Redondo.
Yeah.
You have to have security, obviously, because it's almost all cash.
Yeah.
But the ones they have in the L.A. Strip between Carson and Torrance by the
Carson
hospital.
Carson Street, yeah, my former neighborhood.
Where Pam goes, that's what I say, where Pam goes. Mm-hmm. It was forbidden a few years ago. Pam goes there,
right.
Not by herself.
Right.
Because one of the reasons you don't go by yourself, she won't, because they have a stand outside.
Yeah.
And it's totally made in somebody's backyard. And it looks like it's from a construction site. And so usually has two guys. It looked like they were on release programs from L.A. County Jail or San Quentin. And it's not the place you want to have tattoos on your effing forehead.
No.
And you don't want to be packing a knife. Because if that happens in Redondo Beach, you'll get shut down in a minute.
Yeah.
I said, you got to put your security inside.
Yeah.
And have a double door if you have to. But don't, you know, you're carrying cash. You got to deal. You know, there's ramifications anyway. Yeah. But you can't have it look like it's a prison or a war camp.
Yeah.
Which is what they do.
Yeah. A friend of mine who kind of feels the same way about that. He's only going to go to high-end shops.
Yeah.
And he's very near a place in Gardena that there's a spot that has actually two probably not legal shops. And a legal place opened about two blocks north of there. And he's like, hey, there's a new place over there. And, you know, I went and checked it out. And it's nice and clean, plenty of parking. And you go inside, and they deal with it there. And they guy at the front desk, and then you go into the room, and then that's where the security guard is.
Yeah, that's what
you know, because that's where all the, you know, the money product is, and that's where, you know, real stuff would happen if something real was to happen. And, you know, I kind of get it. You know, it is a cash kind of industry, and it is a target. You know, but if you were to talk to the liquor store owner, I'm just saying any liquor store owner, I mean, a lot of those guys carry guns because they get held up quite
They've
often.
They've all been held
and
up once.
And they're tired of it. And even, you know, if they don't have that, that's some other kind of stick or weapon or taser.
Something, yeah.
I mean, liquor stores are the classic, you know, I mean, there used to be a place in San Jose called Stop and Go. And when I was taking police science, the officer would go, oh, if you go to the Stop and Rob, it was just the nickname that
Rob,
the cops called it because that's kind of what happened every night.
I've been to Stop and Go.
Somebody would stop and rob the place. Like, oh, let's get some sodas and hot dogs and maybe a beer. Let's like, yeah, why pay for it?
Yeah, let's get a couple wads or singles or fives.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my buddy used to have a check cashing place in Wilmington.
Yeah, there you go.
And
in Wilmington, sure.
Of course, they had two of them. They had one on PCH and one on whatever it's called, some street down
Yeah, those
there.
Aren't dangerous.
Abalone or something, yeah. Anyway, he had a pistol and a shotgun wired where he sits.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hollow, it's where his feet would go, his legs. And they were hanging by very well maintained. All this apparatus, and they could swivel like a marine sharpshooter.
Whatever. Wow!
And the wood out there was very slim, so any bolt would go right through it.
Yeah.
So I'm laughing. I go, anybody comes in and tries to get you, he goes, I don't care if I go to jail. I don't want to be dead. I'm going to shoot him.
You know, that's a good...
I'm going to shoot him.
Good way to look at that.
And what he had was a lot of his customers were former professional athletes.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of them were Dodgers.
Wow.
And they cashed their retirement checks there and pay them a fortune.
Yeah.
And they didn't want their ex-wives to know
that. 1.5% or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
No, they call it a stupid tax. It's a stupid tax. I've been with them at both their shops, so they used to have them.
Yeah.
The dumber you are, the more you're paying.
Yep.
Or if you're an asshole, you pay more. That's just the way it works. Well, when I used to work at Safeway, if you were a turd to me, I held my fingers down. That's when you used to hold your fingers down in the old Switzer and go, 89 cents, 75 cents, $1.50.
Uh-huh.
If you came in and were just a turd, you bought four steaks instead of one. I didn't make the money, but the Safeway did.
Mm-hmm.
And the people... Yeah, whatever. They'd come in, they would, you'd never be rude to the people at McDonald's or at the market. Anybody that controls your money, always be nice to them.
Or your food.
Your food, yeah. Well, any food. You get spit out. I used to work at a fish and chips place. If you were rude, you got boogers in that fish.
Oh, I bet.
You got piss in the batter. People did bad things.
Yeah. At some point in high school, one of us thought it would be fun to, you know, just be a-holes at the fast food window. And we get through, and the guy hands us our food. He's like, you know, in the future, you might not want to be such an asshole to the people who are making your food.
Exactly.
And we're like, we're not eating.
Not eating.
We're not eating.
Oh, man, I could tell you, we had some, oh, my God. Yeah, you always be nice.
Yes.
It wasn't a drive-thru I was in either.
Uh-huh.
We had to see them in their face. One guy got a cat paw in his fish. There was a.
They I'm just not had getting, that laying we, around. I just have this dead cat
paw. Someone left
box.
The door open in the freezer. And they checked out one nice little old Wiener Schnitzel kind of building. He came in.
Cat froze.
The guy came in the morning. There's a cat. I looked at it, the cat was frozen with mouth open. It died.
Screaming. Get me out of here.
It died. It was there for hard as a rock.
Poor guy.
It was. I felt bad for him, and I just made some...
I feel worse for the guy that ended up with a sandwich, though.
This guy came in, he was a total horrible,
I'm sure he pushed
it. So the guy got a knife out and cut the paw off.
God.
Frozen paw.
Yeah.
Dipped it in the batter with the piece of cod, kind of cut a slice in the piece of cod, stuck it in the middle of the cod, and the guy walked away. And I'm sure he thought it was just part of the fish.
It was one of the different tasting pieces of fish, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I said it was catfish. All right, on that note, we got to go.
We do.
We got to go see my family.
All
see
right. Everybody. Next time.
But in the end, there's just no place like home. Redondo Beach. Woo! One hell of a city.